We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Tony Gwynn Jr. is growing fast, so when he comes to the ballpark with Dad, a snack has to follow the workout.
Basically just Shaq, that's it. Don't do nothing else except for eat.
Very curious to see how good a player he'll become.
Line drive, center field. Will that fall? Gutierrez can't get it. He lost the ball. Here comes Hairston to score, and Gwynn is flying around third. He's going to try it inside the park home run, and he has done it.
Dad is also one of the best outfielders in the league, but Tony Jr. prefers another position.
Short. I don't like the outfield because just don't like the outfit.
And he hits one to left field. It is gonna be caught by Tony Gwynn to save the game.
But does Tony Jr. want to play pro ball?
It's a matter of keeping the grades up. If I can do that, yeah, probably.
And a fly ball deep to right. Back goes Gonzalez, and this one is gone. Tony Gwynn hits his second home run of the year, and the Dodgers now lead 7-1.
We could see the name Gwynn in Major League box scores well into the next century.
Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel, Sunday mornings on The Score.
It's Hit and Run on 670 The Score, indeed. I'm Matt Spiegel. Producer Sean Anderson put that together. And that was fun to hear a lot of that stuff, as we are joined right now by Radio.com Sports Insider Tony Gwynn Jr. Insider calls are brought to you by Pennzoil, motor oils made from natural gas. The proof is in the Pennzoil. And Tony Gwynn Jr. joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford is in Melrose Park. Good morning, Tony. How are you?
Good morning. That was a heck of an intro right there.
Good, man. Good. It's fun. It's fun to hear some of that stuff, to hear your voice as a kid saying, I don't like the outfield. Short short is where it's at. As a father of an eight-year-old, I recognize the sound of, like, friendly rebellion in your voice right there. Like,
right.
You know? Like, maybe I'm wrong, but Dad plays the outfield. Forget that. Give me shortstop. That's where it's at. Do you have a little of that in you as a kid?
There definitely was a little bit of that, you know, and at that age, I think I was about 11 or 12. At that age, all the action in Little League is in the infield. So that's what it was about. It was me wanting to be around the action as opposed to be standing outfield picking Daisy.
You got you. Well, that makes all the sense in the world. Well, it's like, and most of the great players in baseball now probably started out as shortstops. Or maybe center fielders, maybe catchers, but if you're the best player on your 10-year-old team, you're playing short, aren't you?
No doubt. That is the premier position. That's why you see a lot of big leaguers start. They start at their minor league careers at shortstop, and as you know, they start to develop. They have the athleticism to really go anywhere, and that tends to happen a lot.
Well, there's a lot I'm looking forward to talking to you about, Tony, today, so I appreciate the time. But let's start with shortstop and start with great athletes, because we live in a town, at least I do right now, right here, Tony, where the White Sox went for it and picked up James Shields a couple years ago. And that did not go so well. And in the process, they gave up Fernando Tatis Jr. And you, as a Padres broadcaster, in addition to your Radio.com work, get a chance to watch him. Where does he rank amongst the transcendent athletes in this game today as you watch him?
He's at the very least, you can say he's on his way to the top. You know, I love this game of baseball, and I've always looked at it as an endurance type sport. So, you know, being that he's only in his second year playing at the big league level, there is some caveats to it. But getting a chance to watch him every single day, there's no doubt in my mind that at this point he's on his way to being at the top of that list in terms of transcending. I mean, it's very rare. I don't know that it's ever really happened here in San Diego where we've had a national-type star in the organization. I know my dad was a Hall of Famer, but it took a long time before my dad actually started to get notoriety nationally. Fernando Tatis hasn't even played 162 games in his career, and he's already starting to get that kind of attention, and it's well-deserved. I think he's improved so much defensively this year, and offensively, it's just hard to see a ceiling right now. It really is. The guy does something different every single day that makes you think he's on his way to being in a conversation with the likes of a guy like Mike Trout and Mookie Betts.
Man, yeah, you know, I'm thinking about it, and I'll age myself and say that I loved watching your dad, and like I loved watching Wade Boggs, right? And I appreciated right. The kind of ball players they were. But it wasn't this kind of phenomenon. I'll age myself further and say that Dave Winfield was. When Winfield was out there, it was like, all right, that I need to see, how can I see more of that? How can I find my way to more of that? And that's what Tatis has. It's kind of like Javi Baez in this town. There's something so exciting and so special about the athleticism, about the instincts. It's like they just ate a star in Super Mario Brothers, and they just have that explosive energy that makes them different and special. Right. That Padres bunch is really, really good, it seems, Tony, as a young core. Are they ready to keep going and make the postseason in this weird-ass year?
I think they got a shot to make the postseason this year. And this is a team that has a good mix of old and young. I shouldn't say old, but veterans and young guys on this squad. And they've hit a little rough patch here lately. The offense kind of woke up last night, but they've had a lot of issues with the bullpen. Kirby Yates is on the IL with some elbow discomfort. That's a big loss. They lose the young kid Munoz during spring training to Tommy John, who was throwing upwards of 101 miles per hour. So they're missing some pieces in that bullpen that at the beginning of spring training made them one of the premier bullpens in the league. It hasn't quite lived up to that bill. And at this point, that seems to be one of the things that's slowing them down. Offensively, they've been one of the top offenses all season long. Starting pitching has been surprisingly good really throughout the rotation with the exception of one spot. But the bullpen has been shaky. I think it's 27th in the league right now in terms of ERA, and just hasn't quite lived up to the bill. But manager Jace Tingler has been pretty steadfast in terms of believing that these guys are going to pull themselves out of it.
Yeah, then some bad news on Kirby Yates, the closer, who's going to be on the shelf for a little while, but not Tommy John. Nothing major announced in that sense yet, correct?
Correct. I think it was reported some bone chips in his elbow. He wants to get a second opinion. It comes at a tough time for him. He's headed into his free agent year after having to really grind through to get to this point in his career. Your heart hurts watching a guy like that who had really didn't have the same type of ascent that everybody else does that typically is in this position. He had to grind for it, and to see him have to come out of the game yesterday with some elbow, you could see it in his face. But hopefully he's able to return. It's just this short season doesn't make that likely.
Tony Gwynn Jr. joining us right now here on 670 The Score. Man, you mentioned Mookie Betts. Dodgers have three different guys who have been MVP. Thursday night, Betts hits three homers. I did tying him with Sammy Sosa and Johnny Mize for the most games ever with three home runs, right, which is just insane. Then Kershaw's great on Friday. Bellinger hits a couple homers on Friday. Last night, for anybody who didn't get a chance to see, Mookie with a home run to tie the game in the seventh. They beat the Angels 6-5 in 10. Are the Dodgers that extra special class above the rest as you've watched teams around baseball? I expected them to be, them and the Yankees, and frankly, the surprise Chicago Cubs. Pretty damn good right now.
Yeah. But
how good are the Dodgers as you're watching, Tony?
The Chicago Cubs are an interesting case this year. But to talk about the Dodgers, though, they are, I believe, a cut above everybody else. The Padres, you know, look forward to facing them. They played well in the first series. They go to L.A., they take the first two, and it's looking like the Padres are trying to send a message. And then in the next two games, the Dodgers came out and just they blitzed the Padres. And you got a chance to see why this team is so dangerous, so talented. You mentioned Mookie Betts. He started getting hot in that Padres series, and he seemingly has done something every night since then that has had an impact on the game. And shoot, that's why they gave him the extension. You mentioned Bellinger, the MVP last year. He's been off to a slow start. He seems like he's starting to pick it up. Kershaw just keeps reinventing himself. He looks terrific. They haven't even really got the best Walker Buehler yet at this point, and they found a way to get into the first place. This team is good. And what makes them more exceptional is not just the stars, they have depth. When they have injuries, they plug a guy in, and they just keep moving. And it's really rare you see a team constructed the way that the Dodgers are, where they just have depth at every position. They got interchangeable parts. And listen, there's a reason why they've won seven straight Western divisions, because this is one of those teams that is built for the long haul. And you know what? They're also built for a short season like this. They got the kind of stars that can carry you in a short season when people are still trying to get right. So the Padres are getting better, but the Dodgers are still the cream of the crop, I think, in all of baseball.
This season is the 100th anniversary of the Negro Leagues, and baseball honoring the Negro Leagues today, and also going to tie that in with the Jackie Robinson celebration that usually takes place in April with everybody wearing number 42. We've talked a lot about getting more African-American ballplayers into the game in this town. It's a lovely story when a great young black player in Ed Howard is your first-round draft pick for the Cubs. And man, in this town, we watched Jackie Robinson West 5 years ago, and it was just so much fun. And to see Ed Howard there now, are you still managing or in charge of travel ball teams, Tony? Because I know you were for a while.
Yeah, we still have about four or five teams. Yeah.
Wow. Okay, so four or five travel ball teams, and you do some work with the Players Alliance. Tell people about the work you're doing with the Players Alliance in trying to get more African American kids into the game.
Yeah, I mean, that's really what it is trying to provide opportunity for more African-American kids to get involved with the game. Listen, baseball is operating from a different standpoint than they have in the 70s and 80s and even in the 90s. The other sports that attract a lot of African-American players are a lot more popular than they were in the 70s, 80s, and 90s. So I think baseball's got to find a way to reinvent how they go about promoting the game in general, but especially to all the little black kids that out there that are interested in playing the game of baseball. And a Player Alliance is really trying to put our focus on helping kids have the opportunity to play, providing the opportunity, providing the exposure for kids that are playing and maybe don't have the means to get to some of these tournaments. A lot of travel ball is just it's expensive. It really is. And it really prices out a lot of lower income families to be able to play. So you got to know somebody. So we're trying to provide the opportunity. We're trying to create the awareness for more black kids to be out there playing a game that I think we all enjoy and love.
I wonder, I mean, obviously baseball, Major League Baseball could give more money to leagues of that nature and facilities of that nature. That's one thing. But I wonder, like, the money in baseball is so real when it's guaranteed, when you get there. Is it, and I remember looking at that and thinking, boy, if I could choose, yeah, that would be the way to do it. But Is it the fact that the road to get there, traversing the minors and fighting your way through, is so arduous, whereas it's much more immediate with football and basketball? Even though the opportunities are fewer, the success is more tangible in an immediate sense.
Yeah, I think you've hit the nail on the head right there. The fact that baseball, I mean, it could be 2-3 years before you actually get to that point. The big leagues, whereas in basketball, football, like you said, that's kind of instant gratification. It's an instant. There's a right now-ness to those opportunities. And again, that I think that just boils down to us trying to, and when I say us, I mean our Players Alliance, trying to get kids to understand that yes, those sports are great, but this one has the longevity that you're looking for. You can play this game up into your mid-30s and play it effectively. That's harder to do in those other sports. It just is. The body, it takes a much, much harder beating playing basketball and football. And, again, I think it's about awareness. It's about getting those kids to realize that this game could be very fun and it could be very rewarding when it's all said and done. And at the end of the day, you'll still be able to have all your limbs in place and have a healthy life. So that's really what, you know, the Player Alliance is trying to do. And I think Major League Baseball, they do have programs. They got the RBI program, and I think the issue with some of those programs is the follow-up. You get those kids out for a camp, they come out to have a good time, but then what? You know, they still can't afford the gloves and the bats that are, you know, at a very high price. So, you know, they move on to something else. So I think we have to do a better job of following up after, you know, those initial meetings to keep them engaged in the game of baseball.
I'll share on my Twitter feed this the link to the video and the website for the Players Alliance, and some folks have seen it. I know in the video is Jason Hayward, is Ed Howard, Chicago, and Curtis Granderson has done so much good stuff with UIC facilities and otherwise here in CC Sabathia and more. I'll share that in a moment on my Twitter feed at MattSpiegel670. Just another moment or two with Tony Gwynn Jr. and really appreciate the time. All right, so my son is 8 years old, and for the first time, Tony, is showing interest in going out there and hitting every day. Like I go out and I tried and I felt like I was forcing it and I was pushing it too hard and he didn't care. And now all of a sudden he's interested. Now I'm blessed. I have two stepdaughters who were college softball players. So they're taking him out there and hitting. And I think that's working better than me being the one out there and having it mixed in with like, do the dishes and clean your room and transfer your weight from the back as you swing. And how was your dad with that? In like, did he force it onto you? Did it, because obviously you found it yourself. You became a big league player by your own right. I don't know how much of that was your dad and how much of that was you in terms of in your youth and finding the interest.
Honestly, my dad was 100% hands-off in my youth playing baseball. And a lot of that was because, you know, when Little League starts, baseball season is in full swing. So, I think he recognized, because we shared the same name, there are some hurdles if I was going to follow in his footsteps. And the one weapon that I could have is having a love for the game on my own. And because he didn't put pressure on me in any shape or form, I don't know that he ever really said anything to me unless I was actually asking him questions. I think because of that, I was able to develop a love for the game. And listen, baseball has so much failure involved in it. If you don't love it on your own, it won't last. You won't play for a very long time because you have to really love it to be able to deal with those failures. I mean, we talk about it a lot, but the great players in this game only get hits 3 out of 10 times. That's 7 times you're walking back to the dugout feeling like you didn't do something to help your team. And that can be hard for kids. And if you don't have a love for it on your own, that failure will overwhelm you eventually.
Yeah, that makes sense. You got to let them find the love. Chris Bryant's dad, Mike Bryant, was a prospect for the Red Sox, learned hitting from Ted Williams, taught it to his son, and his son has exceeded what his dad did. Chris Bryant just had a kid and told us in spring, Tony, that he doesn't want his son to play baseball. Like, how could he ask his son to do better than Chris? I mean, that's, you know him, San Diego, man. That's college player of the year. It's minor league player of the year. It's rookie of the year. It's MVP. It's World Series champ. Like, so I understand what Chris doesn't, like, you have a son. Have you, I don't know how old your son is, but like, are you going to suggest it or let him do what he wants? What's the approach going to be?
My son is where your son was. Like, so I take him out there to go hit, and he takes about 10 or 12 hacks, and he's ready to go back inside. And I have to be mindful that I always keep my dad in the back of my head when it comes to my son, because, as you said, out of nowhere, it's typically how it works. When I talk to other dads that have sons that, you know, that were playing the game at one point, they all say the same thing. At some point, it just clicks. A lot of times, it comes out of nowhere. So, I think I understand what Chris is saying. I mean, obviously, he's kind of set the bar pretty high. But the beauty of it is, I think as he gets older, he'll realize that his mind will start to change a little bit. And when he sees his son taking a liking to what he's doing, he's really going to have no choice. Now, it could very well happen his son gets old enough and, you know, he might not like baseball, and that'll be fine too. But I think Chris realizes the pressures that come with it, and he's coming from a place where he was trying to surpass his dad, who was a prospect. Now, his son's going to have to surpass all those things you just named, rookie of the year, MVP. Well, that will be the expectation inevitably because he's the son of Chris Bryant. And that's something that I had to deal with. I just came to an early understanding that I was going to shoot for where my dad was. If I came up short, that would likely be really good anyway. And that it was just going to be hard to overcome something like that, to top that at the very least. So you don't see too many father-son combos that are Hall of Famers. So I was okay with the career that I had, and I understood that at an early age.
Yeah. Anyway, you should be. So now I understand why you laughed so hard when I told you that my 8-year-old just now is showing the interest, because you're waiting for that light bulb to come on for yours.
Exactly. It gives me hope that one day he's going to come into my room, my bedroom, and be like, "Dad, let's go outside and hit some balls or play catch." And my face will light up at that point.
That's right. It like, literally, there was a moment my son looked at me and said, "No, Daddy, you don't understand. I want to do this now." I was like, "All right."
Right.
Okay.
That's
awesome. Here we go. Tony Gwynn Jr., a pleasure. I'll be listening, as I usually do, to Big Time Baseball, the podcast on radio.com, that radio.com MLB insiders John Heyman and Tony Gwynn Jr. do. A new one's released every Monday. And this was a lot of fun. Thank you for the time. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Matt. You have a good day.
You too. That's Tony Gwynn Jr. That was Radio.com Sports Insider, Tony Gwynn Jr. Insider calls are brought to you by Pennzoil. Motor oil's made from natural gas. The proof is in the Pennzoil. I'm telling you, it's a big summer in the Spiegel house. The kid says, "No, Daddy, you don't understand. I want to go out and hit. And now I'm throwing BP, and I got the stepdaughters involved." Just the other day, we rode bikes on the street in a bike path, straight down Wabash, about 8 blocks, no turns, but on the street. And I'm in front, he's behind me, and I'm going, "You okay, Rue? You okay?" He's like, "I'm with you. I'm with you, Daddy." It's a big summer around here, big time stuff. It's 670 The Score. It's Hit and Run. Matt Spiegel is who you're with. That was really fun. Thank you, Sean Anderson, for setting that up. When we come back, one more nugget on the Negro Leagues that I meant to share. It's an award. It's a major award that ought to be changed a bit. And I think we know how we should change that. We'll do that next on 670 The Score.
Blackhawks lose. They fall in game 3 to the Golden Knights of round 1 of the Stanley Cup playoffs. They're now down 3-0. Keep it here on The Score as we recap the loss, analyze what went wrong, and get you ready for a win or...
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Go home, game four, right here on Sports Radio 670 The Score, or radio.com sports station. This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago sports station. Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel, Sunday mornings on The Score.
Really fun to talk to Tony Gwynn Jr. A lot of people enjoyed that conversation. Appreciate it. One texter says, man, his voice is totally his dad, for real. I know, it is. It's freaky. It's kind of freaky. You know he knows it. This from Doug in Shorewood. Tony Gwynn Jr. was awesome. Glad Ruben is starting to get into baseball. I know deep down you love that. Great show as always. Thank you, Doug. Yeah, man, I do. Absolutely. And I've had to really check myself so I don't wreck myself in terms of like pushing the kid into watching it with us and certainly in playing it. But some kind of light bulb went on for him where he started to enjoy hitting, started to feel the satisfaction of making good contact and seeing the ball go a long way. So hopefully that sticks around. We'll see. And it's been a good summer. It's definitely been a good summer. Yeah, this is how it's important to me. Yes, all of that. But this is part of why I wake up this morning to my dad, my 87-year-old pops, who was at bar mitzvah practice in 1946 when Enos Slaughter had just scored from first on a single to beat the Red Sox. He was 13 years old. He was crying, and the rabbi said, "Why are you crying?" He said, "Because the Red Sox just lost the World Series. You wouldn't understand, Rabbi." He texted me this morning, "I'm wearing my Cubs hat. I don't care if the Bo Sox ever win another game. Ownership drove that franchise into the ground. I mean underground. John Henry ought to sell." That text from my 87-year-old father about the Red Sox. Then he sends me this Boston Globe article about how the Red Sox have officially reached a new low in terms of their pitching. In the 120-year history of the franchise, no one has ever seen what is going on right now. They've allowed 8 runs in 6 straight games. That never occurred in the history of the Red Sox franchise. That's how awful they are right now. If they give up 8 or more on Sunday, their streak of games allowing a touchdown and 2-point conversion will match a major league record. That from the Boston Globe. Thank you, Herb Spiegel, for the content that you often provide. Thank you to Tony Gwynn Jr. Also for the conversation about the Negro Leagues and about the Players Alliance and what they're doing. There's a movement within the Baseball Writers Association of America to get the name of Kennesaw Mountain Landis, the first commissioner of baseball, off of its MVP trophies. That Landis, he made a point to make sure that black players did not get into the big leagues. He slowed down the progression and possible inclusion of black players. So that name should probably be gone from the MVP trophy. And there have been other suggestions to replace Kennesaw Mountain Landis, one of whom is Branch Rickey, the boss of the Brooklyn Dodgers, who flaunted societal rules and also baseball tradition by making a spot for Jackie Robinson. And obviously the Jackie Robinson name is on the Rookie of the Year award. So that is secure. But Branch Rickey, there's been a thought there. Frank Robinson, who won an MVP in both leagues for a long time. Is he still? I think he's still the only guy to win an MVP in each league. Sean Anderson, look that up for me. I'm pretty sure he's still the only guy to do it. Cy Young awards in both leagues. For a long time, it was only Gaylord Perry. He was the only guy to win a Cy Young in both leagues. I think that has now changed. Randy Johnson has won a Cy Young award in both leagues.
Scherzer, right?
Max Scherzer? I don't know if Scherzer won a Cy Young as a Tiger, did he?
You're right about Frank Robinson. Right. He's the only guy to win an MVP in both leagues. I look on Scherzer.
Frank Robinson is still the only guy to win an MVP in both leagues. A Cy Young in both leagues. Gaylord Perry. Certainly Randy Johnson. It could be Scherzer.
Yeah,
not Pedro. Clemens?
2013, Scherzer was AL Cy Young.
Wow. Tremendous. Good job by you. Clemens win one in Houston when they were in the NL?
Let me check.
He won, obviously he won with the Yankees and the Red Sox, and I think he won one in Toronto too.
Yeah, 2004 he was a Cy Young winner.
With the Astros?
Yes.
All right, so I think that list now is Clemens, Scherzer, Gaylord Perry, and Randy Johnson in terms of Cy Young awards in both leagues. I don't think I'm missing anybody in super recent years. Textures will hook me up. 312-644-6767.
Gaylord Perry, says, Pedro Martinez, Randy Johnson, Roger Clemens, Roy Halladay, and Max Scherzer.
Ah, Halladay, of course. Toronto. So yes, and Randy and Pedro Martinez. Shame on me for not giving you Pedro, my favorite pitcher of all time. Man. All right, so anyway, there is a push to rename the MVP award. So Frank Robinson gets mentioned, and then Josh Gibson, who hit 800 home runs in his career with the Negro Leagues. And I'm looking at an article right here from Sean Gibson, who is the great-grandson of Josh Gibson, this on The Undefeated, about why Josh Gibson should be the man whose name to put on the MVP. There's something very fitting about that because Josh Gibson's existence in the majors was not allowed thanks to Kennesaw, Mountain Landis, among others. And Josh Gibson remains just an absolute legend. Great defensive catcher, then all the hitting and the power. He got into the Hall of Fame in 1972, the second Negro leaguer after Satchel Paige to get there. And the convergence of their histories of Kennesaw Mountain Landis and Josh Gibson. Really, it would make a lot of sense to name that award after Josh Gibson. Dusty Baker today, by the way, instead of rocking the usual Dusty Baker wristbands, is wearing Josh Gibson wristbands for MLB's celebration of the Negro League centennial today. Great moment the other night that I mentioned earlier and referenced Ed Howard a couple times in the conversation with Tony Gwynn Jr. And this is a great benefit to MLB Network doing some games every once in a while with just like Greg, was it
Amsinger.
Thank you. Greg Amsinger and Harold Reynolds the other day doing the Cubs game. And they brought in Ed Howard via Skype or FaceTime or Zoom or what have you. And he's sitting there along with them watching the Cubs game. Potential future Cubs shortstop, Ed Howard, watching the game. Cubs are on defense. And this is the play where Javi Baez is playing an absurdly deep shortstop, shallow left field, and makes a pick and turns and throws, what, 150 feet on a line to Anthony Rizzo to get a guy on a ground ball. And, oh, by the way, Ed Howard happens to be on the line for that moment. This is what it sounded like on MLB Network.
And what is your advice to get through this for guys your age? Did you see Javi? Hold it, Ed. Did you see this play by Javi Baez?
I see.
You saw that play? Did you see that play?
I saw it.
All right, so talk to me. Look, you're the premier defender in this 2020 draft class at shortstop. So break that play down for me. What'd you see with Javi?
Yeah, man, it's a backhand play deep in a hole. It's a strong arm right there. He just has fun with it, man. He's so smooth. He makes it look so easy. That's just Javi doing what Javi does right there, honestly. You can't teach that. You just got to do it. You know, that's special too.
Hey, man, I gotta let you go. You can't steal my job, man. You broke that down too good, so I'm letting you go. And keep working hard. I look forward to seeing you in spring training next year, and just keep it going, my man. Thank you for the time.
I definitely will.
Oh, that's really cool. That's Ed Howard, who happens to be on the line right there as they're watching Javi. It's 670 The Score. Matt Spiegel is who you are listening to here on Hit and Run. And a couple of little bits of news that are coming in just today in advance of the ball games coming up today. Matthew Boyd for the Tigers is going to start against the White Sox on Monday in Chicago. Spencer Turnbull will pitch Thursday's series finale. Don't know who the other ones are. But some other White Sox news. Rick Renteria said just moments ago that Dane Dunning, who is currently working at the team's alternate training site in Schaumburg, could be a candidate for the Wednesday TBA start. Renteria wasn't confirming anyone today. Well, there you go. That would be generally managing a season with the intensity that it deserves when your team is showing you that they could be battling for a playoff spot. I hate the boilerplate logic of we will not promote a player due to injury of another player. If a guy is ready and you're thinking we're 2 or 3 weeks away from him being ready, okay, from like mentally for it. Necessity is an okay push. It really is. There can be shades of gray there, in my opinion. You know, there can be shades of gray where you're like, yes, he could go in 2 weeks, but oh, we need somebody. We're in a competitive year. Yes, he could go now. I don't think every time that has happened in the history of baseball has been wrong. I don't believe that. So know your personnel, know Dane Dunning, know where he is in terms of coming back from the surgery, know where he is in terms of the length that he can give you, the amount of innings that he can give you. And if he's ready and you have an injury need, that's okay. That's all right. So maybe we'll see Dane Dunning on Wednesday. White Sox yesterday with another bullpen start. Matt Foster, great again. What's up with Matt Foster? My goodness. Just, he in his first 6 career appearances in the big leagues now, all as a member of the White Sox, 9 2/3 innings, 2 hits, 0 runs, 2 walks, 15 strikeouts. Ladies and gentlemen, Matt Foster. Wow. So he was good again, and then things fell apart later. Bernardo Flores came up as the 29th man, such a weird year, 29th man for the doubleheader. Cubs will have a 29th man tomorrow and Wednesday in their doubleheaders against the Cardinals. But anyway, Bernardo Flores came up. He is back down again. Could be that we will see Dane Dunning on Wednesday. That'd be kind of fun. And not just fun, probably the right thing to do in the midst of this weird-ass season. We're on for an extended amount today. Coming up at 12:20, it'll be pregame with Zach Zaidman. Coming up next, our man Chris Kampka, the Sultan of Stat from NBC Sports Chicago, joins us to tie the room together on Hit and Run here on 670 The Score.
Start your day the Mullion hallway.
You guys have provided extra special tender loving care.
They've been in the locker rooms, on the field, and reported on the most historic Chicago sports stories ever.
Has the whole world gone mad?
Mullion Hall are Chicago sports.
You guys really are the best.
Listen every morning, Monday through Friday, 5 to 9. Only on Sports Radio 670 The Score. Chicago Sports Station. This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
You're listening to Hit and Run right here on 670 The Score. Time to get ourselves cam connected with our man Chris Kampka, the Sultan of Stat from NBC Sports Chicago, who is working for a living on ball games. I love hearing Jason Benetti throw bouquets in your general direction. Salute, as they have been of late. Even on an ugly day yesterday, that's a bad doubleheader. That's an ugly doubleheader for the White Sox, but I'm sure you still found statistical interest as you do your job, Chris Kampka. Good morning, buddy. How are you?
Oh, what's going on? Yeah, when I hear my name, I'm still like, what? Who? I've been doing this almost 10 years, and still, whenever I hear my name, I'm kind of like, wait a minute. That's me. Anyway, rough doubleheader yesterday. three hits in each game. The last time the White Sox had three hits in each game of a doubleheader was 1970. But, of course, only seven innings in each game, so I don't put too much stock into that. Going to have some rough games. But it definitely looks like Eloy Jimenez is starting to heat up. That's three homers in his last four games. And he looks like he's finding it. So it's going to come together eventually. It's too much talent for them to continue the struggle as much as they had yesterday.
The 100-year anniversary of the Negro Leagues being celebrated and honored today, Chris Kampka. What do you think of in terms of the White Sox when you think of the connection to the Negro Leagues?
Well, I mean, Mr. White Sox, that's one of the many nicknames of Manny Mañoso, the Cuban Comet. The first black player to appear in a game for the White Sox. He's got to be in the Hall of Fame, and somehow he isn't. I mean, I can rattle off a few things about his great career that kind of puts it in perspective. In 1950s, please. you had five players during the 1950s hit 300 with a 400 on base percentage. You heard of the other guys, Mickey Mantle, Ted Williams, Stan Musial, Jackie Robinson, Manny Mañoso. He had it all. He had every tool you wanted. He had power, he had speed, good field. Was one of the first Gold Glove winners when they first started getting him out. So he's the man, and he's got to get in the Hall of Fame sooner or later. Hopefully, December 2020, we'll get that announcement.
Manny Mañoso, some of the most remarkable statistical feats ever, really, for a baseball player and for the length of a life and impossible career. For Manny Mañoso. This is such a weird year in general, this 60-game season, and some guys might play 55. You've got this week Charlie Blackmon flirting with 500 in terms of a batting average. The rate stats are going to be crazy. The counting stats are going to be odd. What are some of the things that have jumped out to you in terms of the true uniqueness of what we're seeing here statistically, Chris?
Well, I mean, it's a flukish thing. Heading into this weekend, you had Charlie Blackmon with more six-hit games, or more three-hit games, six, than the Cardinals had played games, five. So, obviously, that's no longer the case. But I think the weirdest season going on right now that nobody seems to be talking about, or at least talking about enough, is what Carlos Santana is doing for Cleveland. His current slash line is 177, 427, 258. He has 27 walks, and 11 hits. Now, let me say a little something about that.
Whoa, wait a minute.
Right.
Hold on. I didn't think I realized that. Dude has 27 walks and 11 hits.
Yes. And since 1900, you have 42 seasons among qualified batters for the batting title. 42 seasons where a guy had more walks than hits. You have only one season that a player had 1.5 times as many walks as hits, and you could probably take a guess on who that is. Yes,
Barry Bonds,
2004, when he had 232 walks and 135 hits. But Carlos Santana has 2.45 times as many walks as he has hits. Nobody's even remotely close to that in Major League history. If you were to finish the season, now granted, it's a shorter season, but still, come on.
Yeah. That is amazing. That's absolutely amazing. I didn't realize he's got almost 2.5 times as many walks than hits in this weird ass year. I mentioned Chris in my segment with Tony Gwynn Jr. early on in the hour, how Mookie Betts hit three homers on Thursday night. He now has six games in his life with three homers, tied for number one all time with Johnny Mize and Sammy Sosa. That's outrageous this early in the man's career.
Yeah, well, Mize had over 1,000 more games played than Betts has. Sosa has more than 1,500 times more games than Betts has. Betts has only played in 815 games. 18 of his 147 home runs, that's 12.2%, have come in those six three-homer games. And I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. In fact, for Sammy Sosa didn't have his first three-homer game until career game number 860. Betts isn't even there yet.
Wow. It's craziness. Chris, enjoy your job today. Enjoy your White Sox today. Enjoy your son. I hope you still like him. How old is he? A month now?
He'll be a month today. Yes, that's correct. 1 month old today.
So wow.
The White Sox
nailed it.
Give him a win is a good gift.
There you go. Thank you, Chris Kampka. You're the best. Chris Kampka joined us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford is in Melrose Park. Here's what it sounded like on Thursday night when Mookie Betts went ballistic.
Paddock throws and Betts goes after the first pitch, drives the ball to right center field. It's over Olivares, over the wall and gone. Opposite field, two-run shot, Mookie Betts. Third home run for the Dodgers in the first two innings, and they lead 5-2. That ball's lifted to left center field, back towards the wall. Betts has done it again. They're out of their collective minds tonight. That is five home runs over the first three-plus innings for the Dodgers, two for Mookie Betts. Mookie with his first multi-home run game as a Dodger, did it 16 times in Boston. Lifts a fly ball to left center field, back towards the wall. It is gone! Mookie with another three home run game. In the history of baseball, three men have done this six times. Johnny Mize, Sammy Sosa, and now Mookie Betts.
Mookie Betts right there doing it with three home runs. It's Matt Spiegel here with you on Hit and Run on 670 The Score. Bonus Hit and Run coming up. One more segment as we take you towards Cubs pregame coming up at 12:20 right here on 670 The Score. I should tell you, by the way, that tomorrow morning on the Mully and Haw Show, two absolute must-hear guests, Arturis Karnishevis, the boss of the Bulls, will do a one-on-one or one-on-two with Mully and Haw. He has not done any radio other than his press conference on Friday. So that will be at 8:30 a.m. to talk about the firing of Jim Boylan and what happens moving forward. And Rocky Wirtz, right at 7 a.m. tomorrow, Rocky Wirtz will be on with Mully and Haw talking about the Blackhawks playoff series. And Rocky hasn't talked to anybody since John McDonough left the organization. So that should be must-listen-to stuff tomorrow morning with Mully and Haw right here on 670 The Score. It's Spiegel Hit and Run bonus coming up.
Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel, Sunday mornings on The Score.
Oh, man. Got me all up in my feelings when you play Jeff Buckley's Last Goodbye like that, Sean. Be careful. You want to get me functional. Keep me functional here. I might just start weeping uncontrollably. One of the great albums of all time? Certainly of the last 30 years. Jeff Buckley's Grace. Go get it. Go listen to it if you don't have it. Good afternoon, everybody. Was that a ding? Was that a correct ding right there?
That was a correct ding.
Serious, man. It's the song Grace itself. Holy hell, there's just so much going on. Woo! But the whole album in itself. It is Matt Spiegel here with you in an afternoon edition of Hit and Run as we have one more bonus segment leading you up towards Zach Zaidman with Cubs pregame at 12:20 and then first pitch at 1:20. John Lester going for the Cubs. He's been amazing. Lester has just been remarkable. I think the ERA stands at 1.06 after three starts. He's got two wins. It's just, and it's the way he's doing it. There might be nothing I respect more in baseball than the aging starting pitcher who figures out another way. And Lester is right now as good as it gets in that way. The heat is gone. The shape of his cut fastball is still there. The shape of his curveball is still good. But what he figured out in summer camp was that his changeup was on fire. And all of a sudden now he's throwing his changeup an amazing amount, and it's incredibly effective. He looks like Tom Glavine. This is not the way that John Lester has ever looked in terms of stuff and the way he attacks people. But he's hitting his spots like crazy and using the changeup brilliantly and getting guys to hit it weakly and meekly with some serious soft contact. Just an absolute pleasure to watch John Lester work, and reminds me, as I've said before, of like certain stuff-laden lefties of my youth who aged and figured it out another way. Frank Tanana, you know? Ron Guidry had a couple real good years after some injuries when he came back, and he was no longer Louisiana Lightning. Just such respect for guys when they figure that out and do it in that way. A couple things I want to get to here regarding the Cubs in our final segment. One is the manager, David Ross, who has shown a willingness to be honest and kind of admit some of his own mistakes or his own misconceptions that is just so welcome. Somebody once told me about the life hack that is being honest with people about getting it wrong. If you get it wrong sometime, okay, you got it wrong. I take that to heart because that shows that you have an ability to be self-aware and know you're not perfect and move on and still do things with a sense of integrity. One of my favorite shirts that I own was sent to me by a listener after I admitted on Twitter one night. I wrote this on Twitter. I wrote, "My name is Matt, and I once wanted to trade Javier Baez for pitching." I did. I wanted to trade him after the 2015 cup of coffee that featured oh so many strikeouts and oh so little of anything else. I wanted to trade him for one of those young Mets arms. Zach Wheeler was one that came to mind. So anyway, I said that one night on Twitter, and then a guy reached out to me and said, what shirt size are you? And I told him, and he sent me a shirt with a picture of Javi on it and that saying, I love that shirt. I wear it to Wrigley sometimes. What the hell? Own your mistakes. David Ross made a decision leading up to picking his team, picking his roster after spring training two, Electric Boogaloo, after the summer camp. And one of the decisions he made was, you know what? Dylan Maples just has the stuff. He's got great stuff. I want to give him a chance. I think he can do it. And I get it. Okay, fine. I want to give Dylan Maples a chance. It didn't work out. He could not find the plate. Again, here's David Ross from yesterday. It's in the pregame. But it's instructive because he ends up talking about a guy who you saw yesterday and be good again. And that's Ryan Tepera, the former Toronto Blue Jay. Here's David Ross talking about the bullpen before the game yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, I think guys are finding their roles, you know. I think probably early on with the extra arms down there, we had a chance to see some guys that, you know, I kind of wanted to see in real life competition and their stuff and how they competed with it. And You know, guys like Ryan Tepera, who's come back and proved me wrong. You know, I was wrong on that. Like, I went with another guy and some stuff, and Ryan Tepera has done nothing but prove himself and his worth here. And you see the innings he's being able to fill in for us. And, you know, JJ and Craig coming back around last night, and Collins done a really good job out of there. I mean, there's just a lot of Kyle Ryan. I hadn't had a chance to really get him in a game, and you saw him a little rusty against Yelich for falling behind and then coming back and finding it and competing. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of guys down there that are doing a phenomenal role. Wick, there's guys are doing a phenomenal job and finding their roles, and we're communicating and trying to set them up for success. And I think a lot of it has to do with my inexperience as well, and, you know, trying to navigate that as best I can. It's new for me, and communicating with those guys and seeing who we can trust in the big spots.
Props to David Ross. No one will or should have an issue with a manager being honest about learning lessons, especially in a weird year like this. And then one more thing I want to get to you before we hand it off to Zach Zabeman and Cubs pregame. This was from Thursday, in case you missed it. This was Anthony Rizzo leaning in to the way they feel, and certainly the way he feels, about this perhaps being a last dance of sorts for this core of positional players.
I'm not going to shy away from this. This could be our last year together. And I think we all know that, especially with the state of the game and who knows what's going to happen. This could be our last run with all our core guys. This could be my last year here. Who knows? So I'm enjoying every second of it. When times get tough, it's just I've obviously been through a tough time before. It's, you start appreciating all the little things again that maybe you take for granted. I'm a victim of it. I'm sure everyone, you guys are all victim of it. But it's the joy of the game that we're playing for right now. And I think it's really showing that we're just playing basically high school summer baseball right now. That's how we feel like we're playing, just going out and playing baseball and not worrying about if someone's hitting 500, if someone's hitting, you know, under 200. It's just, let's win, let's pick each other up, and figure it out.
That's Anthony Rizzo talking about this core and how this might be the end. They've been playing very well, and as a collective, the chemistry has obviously been tremendous to watch and to see and to listen to during the ball games. Thank you to our guests today, Tony Gwynn Jr. from Radio.com, Ryan McGuffey from the Sox Talk podcast, Mark Gonzalez from the Chicago Tribune, and Chris Kamka from NBC Sports Chicago. Great job by Sean Anderson, as always, producing Hit and Run. I'm back with you next week for Inside the Clubhouse Saturday, Hit and Run on Sunday. Zach Zaitman is next with Cubs pregame. Have a wonderful day, everybody.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.